This morning, thinking again, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, in a world that's so unsettled, constantly changing, you know, as believers, we can rest in that fact. Our Lord is the same. He does not change. You know, his word on the mount, through his inspired writers, words spoken by him when he walked this earth, words of the apostles like we studied this morning that were written and preserved for us, they all speak the same thing. The first, the greatest commandment still stands. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I appreciate the our Sunday school morning, our devotionals. And I know I was thinking this morning, we've heard quite a few of them of who is Jesus. And I've been blessed by those thoughts. You know, are you following him? How do you know you're following him? What does that mean to you? Do those around you know that you are following him? More importantly, does he know that you are following him? You know, he does know if you are following him. I'm going to read some verses this morning and make some comments. Starting with 2 Corinthians, you're welcome to follow along or just listen, but if 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? 6 verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Well, those are a set of verses there that we can just read, and I think most of us can understand that pretty clearly without commenting. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, verse 13 to 16. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Again, talking about those that have come out, those that are separated, those that are faithful. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. As we think of the seriousness of life, you know, doesn't it behoove us to walk carefully? To make sure that we are flying with the pilot that cares about our souls, the one that has given his all so that we can have life, so that we can live life with a purpose, with a sense of direction. You know, if we're going through life and we don't have a sense of direction, we don't know where we're going, we're probably not going to get anywhere. We're not going to get to where we want to go. As I was thinking about, you know, we see some models or things like Jesus is our pilot or is my pilot. And we think of driving. You know, this past year, we've had two of our members involved in serious accidents, you know, head-on collisions, accidents that if you look at the vehicles afterwards, you would not have much hope that the occupants had survived, had all survived. You know, but God was merciful. In these instances, he granted his protection. You know, we praise the Lord for that. You know, both of those accidents happened because of distracted drivers, or drivers that weren't shouldn't have been driving, drivers that shouldn't have been on the road in the state of whether it was drugs or whatever was involved. You know, to drive or to fly a vehicle or a plane, there are requirements. There are rules to follow. Therefore, our safety, you know, speed limits are there. There's laws against distractions. Don't let distractions interfere. Sometimes there isn't a second chance. You know, it was just, I think it was Friday, but I was just off of the highway. I was there at the Holderman Church at their school in Norwood, and I heard a bunch of sirens and noise, and what's going on? And a little later, I heard that there was a high-speed chase and ended here in Seymour. A lot of you have heard about that. You know, that driver was going, they say his speed's up to 130 miles per hour. He hadn't taken much consideration of the danger he was putting himself in and putting others in that were on the same road that happened to be on the highway. He didn't do, I don't think he did a pre-check when he took off there. He didn't check to make sure those tires were rated for that kind of speeds. I doubt they were. How careful are we to make sure our lives are in order? How casually do we approach life? In the last couple months, I've been there, watched an airplane pilot, watched a helicopter pilot do their pre-flight. And both of them were very diligent about the details. Had my four-year-old grandson along with me when we, excuse me, kind of famous for that, when we took Murray Carter down to the Ava Airport, and we stayed there till he left. I wanted to watch that little helicopter take off. And to a four-year-old, that pre-flight took forever. He went around the outside. He moved everything, looked at it carefully. And, you know, if I'd have been flying with him, I would have really wanted him to do that, because it doesn't look like there's much around you in that thing. After he got all that done, he checked the engine, he checked the belts. He took a little fuel out and looked at it, make sure there's no water in it. So finally he gets in, finally he starts it. The propeller was going around. We watched for a long time. He was looking at things. He was punching things. When he got all done with that, he gets out a paper and he starts looking at things. He looks at the paper and he looks at stuff and he looks at the paper. And my little grandson just wondered, he didn't think he was ever going to leave. Finally, he sat back, and you could tell the propeller started going, and that thing goes up a little bit, and he moves out across the parking lot, and away he went. You don't want a pilot that is negligent, neglects things, neglects looking at things, a pilot that hopes he has enough fuel. You know, just yesterday, we sat there while my cousin John Ray took off here at the airport, and they sat out there for a long time, it seemed. But you know, if a pilot gets on, he says, "Well, I think we've got enough fuel. I think the luggage is going to work out. We're not over 150 pounds over." Well, they might make it, but they might not. A good pilot is aware of his surroundings, just like somebody that's driving in a vehicle should be aware of their surroundings. You know, when he takes off, he keeps his eye on what is beneath him. If I understand right, when you take off, as you're taking off, that first little bit, it's very critical. Those of you that have your pilot's license and answer this a lot better than me, but as you take off, you don't want to, if something would give out, if something would shut down, you focus on landing. The pilot that loses an engine and tries to keep the thing up is going to go straight down, and that's disastrous. If he focuses on landing, he has a lot more chance. I know flying with Danny Beach in Guatemala, when we got to a place he needed to flip on that little plane, he had to flip from one fuel tank to the other. And before he did that, he carefully looked down, and we're going across the mountains. He wanted to make sure that we had a place to land in the event things didn't transfer. Well, they did, and everything was fine, but I was glad he was looking. Made me feel better. It's important to have a plan. If there's an engine failure, focus on landing the plane. Be aware of your surroundings. You know, there's a difference between an emergency landing and a crash landing. You know, as drivers navigate the highways, you know, if as you go through driver's ed, you are taught to be aware of your surroundings, behind, beside, to be careful. Because just because you stay in the right lane, you do the right thing, isn't like we've seen here recently in the last year. It doesn't avoid a serious crash. Distracted driving makes you very vulnerable. So what's a lesson or application to the Christian life? To stay focused, to have a sense of direction, to know where you're going, be aware of your surroundings, be accountable. Allegiance to Christ results in estrangement from the world and sets the disciple of Jesus in continual conflict. Allegiance to Christ results in estrangement from the world and sets the disciple of Jesus in a continual conflict. And a quote can't think of his name right now. I'll think of it later. But the quote is, in the church, there's diversity of function among members, but unity of purpose. So there's importance that we heard a good talk at the PTA. It's important that there is a unity of purpose as watchmen on the wall, as wherever we find our place, as heads of the homes, as fathers, as teachers, as ministers. In the church, there's diversity of function among members, but unity of purpose, a sense of direction to know where we're going. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, that's doing the will of God. That is what gives us purpose in life. That's what gives us a sense of direction. There is I read a story about a young pianist. He was learning to play the piano. He didn't like it. His instructor would try to get him to play, and I think this may be in one of the books that some of the Bible school students had. But he would refuse to, his heart was not in it. And the story is told, an angel took him to somewhere and showed him this pianist playing. He's playing beautiful music. And the angel said, don't you like that? He said, yes, I like that. He said, well, that is you. When he took it back, he said, that's you. But he said, you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to be diligent. You're going to have to, this isn't just going to happen. This young man had to have, and that's a story, but this young man had to have a sense of purpose, a sense of direction in life. And I think that's so critical as for all of us and as youth, is that you have a sense of purpose, a sense of direction in your lives. John 17:14, in closing, says, I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through truth. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So what, where do we, where is our allegiance? Where, what are we connected to? What is our purpose in life? If it's for the here and now, if it's for the things that we want, the things that we want to do, you know, that's going to end. That doesn't last. But what we do for eternity, what we do for Christ, that sense of purpose, is that is what's going to carry us through. That's what gives us the hope that Peter talked about there in the Sunday school lesson this morning, that lively hope. Let's bow our heads for prayer.